We have already begun the second half of the season of the Epiphany. Once we have celebrated both the Epiphany itself and the baptism of our Lord. And of course, some of these dates go back and forth, as I have mentioned before. Here we have, after the preaching of St. John, the Baptist, and the baptism of our Lord, that eventually, not right away, because this is St. Matthew telling it in his way, he was not there. He was still collecting taxes. Remember Levi, the tax collector. And so he's gathering all the information, and by the light of the Holy Spirit, he wrote this gospel. But this happened before the wedding feast of Cana, which we have already spoken about, and we will celebrate yet. And then St. John was arrested because he stood up, and of course this has to do with the wedding feast of Cana, where the most holy sacrament of matrimony was ratified and conferred by our Lord. St. John the Baptist was arrested because he condemned the incestuous and evil relationship that he had with his brother's wife. And he tried to get them to stop, but no, they would not. And as a result, the wife took things into her own hands and had John arrested, and eventually his head was cut off. He is, in that sense, the first martyr for the sacrament of matrimony. We could say also that St. Thomas More and St. John Fisher were also martyrs for the sacrament of matrimony against another evil king and his wenches that he accepted into his bed, to his own condemnation and theirs. But this happened after the wedding feast of Cana. And by that time, Jesus already met most of the apostles, not all. And of course, he had met them from eternity, but they had not met him. Now, in the case of James and John, who were Zebedee's sons, they were also his cousins. Whether first or second, we don't know, but they were the cousins of our Lord, and all their brothers and sisters, those who are referred to in the Gospels as the brothers of the Lord. That was the word that was used for cousin. And so he called them. He already had a sight on them from eternity, I say. And as a result, he now calls them officially. He ratifies that which he has set forth from eternity. And he calls Peter and Andrew. Now Andrew had introduced Peter to Jesus. We see this elsewhere in the Gospel. And they were brothers, and they also were fishermen. And then immediately they left everything. And Jesus told them, from now on, I will make you fishers of men. You will not be fishing sea creatures, whatever they may be. You will be fishing men. You will be gathering up for God, for the kingdom of God, in the reins of the kingdom of God, the souls of men, for that is what Christ has come to do. And then St. Matthew tells us he runs into James and John, whom he already knew very, very well, but they did not know him. They had not known, it was secret, that he was the Son of God. They thought he was the son of Joseph and Mary. And so they were among those who were perhaps mad at him and scandalized that for all these years, mind you, that Jesus was 30 now, that all these years he had kept his identity from them. It was not for them to know. And we always think that we need to know everything. Well, it is not for us to know certain things. God knows, and that is what's important. And there are other things that we will find out when God so chooses to let us know. So our Lord, at the wedding feast of Cana, revealed to all the apostles that he was the Son of God. this was to happen yet. But they already knew by the healings that he had begun to do, privately, not publicly, that he was not a regular person, and he was really not their cousin. He was the Son of God. And so immediately they follow him here, according to the narration of St. Matthew. And St. Matthew then speaks about the fact that then Jesus began to do all the works that he had come to do. Of course, the main work was that of salvation, that he gave us at the baptism. That of salvation, which he gives to us also when he heals us of our sins, which would become after Easter by the sacrament of penance, of confession. The sacrament of healing, which he also left to us, and we read about this in the epistle of St. James, the same St. James. If anyone is ill among you, call the priests and let them lay their hands upon them. All the sacraments have a laying of hand because of the power of the Holy Spirit with which the hands of the priests are consecrated to God. And the power of the Holy Spirit is in our hands, whether we like it or not. And so, there he gives us the sacrament of the anointing, which we shall also have here in just a few weeks for those who truly need it on the feast of Our Lady of Lourdes, on that time of the year that St. John Paul II called the time of the healing, the World Day of Healing. And of course, the sacrament of the unction or anointing is of healing. So little by little, the mysteries of the kingdom of God are revealed. Now, it is not a vocation Sunday per se, but this is a subject also that for which this gospel is used. That when our Lord calls those whom he calls to follow him exclusively in the priesthood, they should follow. And of course, many here are being called, not necessarily here in the pews right now, but we have about 10 young men in our parish that are being called to the priesthood. Some of them already have answered it or are in the process of it, and some of them will in the future. And so we pray for all those whom our Lord is calling to follow him in the greatest gift that is possible to any man, of which no man is worthy to become a priest according to the order of Melchizedek, and to have the power of Christ that is conferred on his hands, upon the laying on of hands and the consecration with the sacred chrism of the priest's hands. So today, let us pray for priests and for those who are being called, especially in our parish, and let us pray for all those who are being called to the religious life. On this Sunday, too, we remember that we are praying in a very, very special way for the gift of life, in thanksgiving for life, and for the very, very important fact that life begins at conception in the womb of the mother, and that only God has the right to take it away from her or that child. And so we pray for an end to the abominable crime of abortion, in particular on this weekend, on this Sunday. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.